I don't know about you, but the list of things I'm angry about is pretty long these days. I'm thinking if we had thought bubbles and everybody could put in their thought bubble what they're angry about, the people, the things that they are angry about, we would fill this room. We have political rhetoric and decisions that are cultivating cruelty rather than fairness. We have corporations that are still, even now, valuing profit over mitigating climate change. We have anger and grudges of all sorts, workplace, relationship, community, acted out with guns. We are too often not caring for the most vulnerable among us, much less addressing structural inequality. We still live in a country governed by a white patriarchal power structure, both elected and corporate, leaving out the majority of residents in decision-making. I'm mad a lot these days. I'm even mad at the Dalai Lama now. The head Buddhist, the person in charge of that loving kindness meditation. In case you missed it, he opined recently that if a woman were to be identified to succeed him as Dalai Lama, she would need to be pleasing to the eye, or no one would listen to her. You too, Dalai Lama? Anger these days isn't confined to the public square. As those of you who have been following events and discussions within our congregation and within the Unitarian Universalist Association, you know that there is anger here too, right now, especially around the issues of racism and white supremacy culture. Today, I am mainly referencing anger in community. And it can apply not just to this community, but other groups that you may belong to. Some of the points that I'm making could also be applied to intimate relationships, families, and the workplace. I grew up Christian, Southern Baptist, and then Episcopalian, until I left the church at 19. I got conflicting stories about anger from the Gospels. One was to turn the other cheek if someone abuses you. The other was to turn over the tables in the temple if you didn't like the accepted practices there. These days, I'm all about turning over the tables. But in a good way, a healthy way, right? Healthy. The turn the other cheek can be helpful at times, absolutely. As Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist tradition, teaches us, the person who has wounded you is also suffering. And I absolutely honor that. But turn the other cheek has also been very useful for allowing unfair power structures and abuse to continue. Sometimes stronger measures are needed. In communities and groups, it seems like we're always in a dance of establishment and chaos, of structure and change. Calls for relationship and community change often fuel anger. Things are just fine the way they are. Why do you want to disrupt a good thing? Alicia Garza said, in reference to her work with Black Lives Matter, "Are we prepared to try and be the first movement in history that learns how to work through anger? To not get rid of it, not suppress it, but to learn how to get through it together for the sake of what is on the other side?" Maybe our anger isn't meant to be managed, but to be used as fuel for better relationships, stronger communities, a more compassionate world. So what does your anger serve? Is it to maintain a status quo? Is it to deepen and enlarge beloved community? Whose suffering are you taking into account? Anger often makes us uncomfortable. Certainly it did me when I was a child. All I wanted was to get away from the dinner table where my father raged. It was scary. It made me anxious. I bring this up because often our first exposures to anger shape the way we feel about it, even now. We might want to avoid it at all costs, keeping our heads down, even when we need to speak up. Growing up, I was angry, but I was quiet about it. Quiet was what was safe. When my father raged at my mother or my older sister, quiet meant that the rage was not directed at me. Or we might want to create anger often because that's what makes us feel at home in our skins. We get a charge out of it. The anger itself feeds something in us. That was the case for my father. His anger wasn't connected to love or beloved community, but to acting out his own anxieties onto the people nearby. The Me Too movement over the past few years is evidence of people no longer remaining quiet about abusive behaviors. The Black Lives Matter movement is based on the refusal to remain quiet about racist actions. Folks in movements for gender identity are demanding recognition. The anger motivating these movements is so surprising to some. But when we think about the hundreds of thousands of years that this anger was quieted, swallowed, stuffed down, because that's what might keep you safe, or maybe let you keep your job, or at least keep you alive. Is it really so surprising that when the time comes that the stories can come out, be shared, be validated, they come out strong, spilling over, making waves, trying to create change? Anger about structural oppression may seem over the top if we don't understand the depth of the issue. Perhaps this is the time to learn more instead of quickly dismissing the anger. In fact, if you really want to increase someone's anger, dismiss their concerns without thoroughly considering the issue and learning as much as you can about it. We have all of these big societal injustices to fight. Entrenched social inequality replicated in all of our communities, including this one. But it seems that we can get madder, faster at what we see as direct personal affronts. You know, where you go over and over the offending interaction in your head, keep playing it and playing it. What did they mean by that? How dare they? How rude. And in my life, I have seen other challenging emotions, grief or anxiety, for instance, sublimated into anger over a completely unrelated issue. Sometimes anger, especially the self-righteous variety, is the easier of the emotions. It can be a lot easier than serious self-reflection. I hold up the mirror to myself for this, and I hold it up to you too. Let's just say that we're not so equipped to integrate and respond to our feelings of interpersonal anger. Frankly, we want to see ourselves as above anger. We arm ourselves with reason. We should be civilized, use politeness like we use table manners, so as not to offend with our messy feelings. Sometimes we project our own anger onto others. I'm not angry. I'm being rational. I'm the clear thinker here. I'm the expert. Soraya Chimley says that pretending we aren't angry, like, you know, always calling for love and light instead of really grappling with deep emotion, leads to our anger leaking out with microaggressions and passive aggression. My mother could not talk back to my father, but she could and did burn the supper all the time. Think about the rush of anger, the rush of blood, the fast beating heart. Can you even identify anger when it's happening? Do you speak it? Do you yell it? Do you clamp down on it? Do you wind others up and get them to act out your anger for you? That's surely happening in the public sphere, and it happens in families, workplaces, and around here too. Are you able to speak directly about your anger? Is it safe for you to do so? What would make it safe? We still have lots of unacknowledged, even unconscious rules for who can be angry. The direct expression of anger is all about power. Marginalized groups take much more risk when expressing anger, and the anger is often policed and dismissed. Since we all live and interact in communities where some have more power than others, we have to be especially careful about whose anger we honor and take seriously. I am sure you've heard the old thing about women's anger. Over the top, so emotional, she must be PMSing. What a bitch. I'm betting you've also heard of the angry black woman. You can insert other dismissive phrases here because I know you've heard them. If you belong to a group that historically wasn't supposed to express anger, watch out. Assertiveness will be seen as anger, and the slightest hint of anger will be seen as a tsunami. And then comes the deflection. What's wrong with them? They are making a mountain out of a molehill. Instead of saying, wow, I never thought of that. How can I learn more? We may say, you're wrong. You're rude. You are being too demanding. In her 1981 talk, The Uses of Anger, Women Responding to Racism, the late, great Audre Lorde said, the angers will not kill us if we can articulate them with precision, if we listen to the content of what is said with at least as much intensity as we defend ourselves against the manner of saying it. When we turn from anger, we turn from insight, saying we will only accept the designs we already know, deadly and safely familiar. At its best, like Lorde says, anger offers the possibility for insight, energy, and change for the better. It can disrupt the safely familiar. It is, in fact, a moral emotion demanding that we make judgments, especially about fairness. If we don't listen carefully for the messages in our anger and in the anger of others, we will never get to the root of the problem. I'm guessing if you're sitting in this room, you have an interest in compassionate community, in making our community and the world a better place. And this beloved community will not happen on some level of, quote, pure reason, nor will it happen only with love. To make beloved community, we have to allow for all of our human emotion. As the song said, down here in the muddy river, we have to be the angels that deliver each other, even and especially maybe, especially in difficult times. Can we imagine being the people who stick with messy and difficult emotions, like Lizia Garza said, in order to get to the other side? But let's get back to our own anger, to Allie's cloud of red. First of all, I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody walking around going, so we'll know what's going on when that happens. It's a good first step, but it may not fix adult-sized challenges. Yoga, meditation, and exercise can all help anger from getting stuck in our bodies. And I think it's especially helpful in times like this when it feels like anger and despair are all around us. But they are not the whole answer. I'm drawing now on the work of Buddhist author Ruth King, Healing Rage and Mindful of Race, which are based on her training as an international insight meditation teacher and workshop leader. As you might expect, she invites direct, compassionate communication, talking about what is angering you and what you would like to have change. She has some steps. First, affirm what is working in a relationship. Second, stating your concern clearly. Third, and the hardest, own up to how you may have contributed to the situation, even if it's that you have avoided talking about it. This may mean acknowledging that you are not infallible. Fourth, inviting engagement. How do you see the problem? What would satisfy you on this issue? Fifth, make a clear request of what you want. And sixth, extend appreciation for the conversation. Earlier, I asked if you felt safe, and there may be circumstances where meeting alone does not feel safe. Work with other folks to find skilled, trusted observers or facilitators for your issue. Always taking into account power differentials. In this congregation, we have a committee on ministry that's a good place to start. But in any case, any meeting, any facilitation, all observers have to feel safe for all the parties involved. Sometimes issues aren't going to be easily resolved. That has to be okay. If we want this community or any community to work, we have to stick with it. These lines from Marge Piercy's poem, The Art of Blessing the Day, speak to this. Although I shall not forget that things work in increments and epicycles and sometimes leaps that half the time fall back down, let's not relinquish dancing while the music fits into our hips and bounces on our heels. We must never forget, pleasure is as real as pain. Perhaps the most important way to deal with anger in community is to remember why you first joined this community or any community. I can guarantee you weren't thinking, I'm going to join that group so I can figure out how to work on my anger issues. We come together in community because it is pleasurable to be together, to work and laugh and celebrate together. I'm still here after all these years because I need the support of this community to help me hold my grief, appreciate my joy, and support my commitment for building a new way. This community nourishes me so I can go out into the world and do my work, trying to right the wrongs that I'm angry about. It is our community of hope, compassion, and strength. I know that we can and must move through anger into love over and over again.